This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV, weekdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Friday, September 9th, was the 45th anniversary of the Attica prison riots in New York. It was also appropriately the launch date of a number of coordinated labor strikes in various prisons around the country, including Alabama, Ohio, Mississippi, and Texas. The U.S. incarcerates the greatest number of people in the world, and it is routine that most of them are expected to work inside the prisons that hold them, usually for below minimum wage. Inmates say that system is akin to slavery and hence unconstitutional. There are also ongoing hunger strikes at some prisons. In 2013, there was an unprecedented mass hunger strike in California prisons to protest solitary confinement and other inhumane conditions that garnered international attention. We go now today to inside one of the prisons where the work stoppage is happening to speak with an inmate. Benu Hannibal Ra's son, formerly known as Melvin Ray, is being incarcerated at the W.E. Donaldson Correctional Facility in Bessemer, Alabama. He's also a member of the Free Alabama Movement, which has been leading the strikes. He joins us from inside the prison. Welcome to the program, Benu.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, tell us a little bit, first of all, about what is happening where you are at the W.E. Donaldson Correctional Facility, and what exactly does a work stoppage mean?
Okay. Well, where I'm at right now, really what they're doing is a lot of transferring, a lot of trying to separate people. There's a budding unity movement going on here. This is the highest level security prison in the state of Alabama. It's a level 6 maximum security prison. And it's one of the only prisons that we have not been able to penetrate. And so they started transferring a lot of us up here. So we started organizing, bringing people together, educating about what the Free Alabama Movement is about. And so right now, a lot of guys are performing support for people in other prisons around the state. Some people are protesting by boycotting the canteen. Some people are protesting by hunger striking. There are a few people who are participating in the actual work strike, but the overwhelming majority of the activity is going on in other places. And so we're sort of like a communications command central, not only for Alabama, but for other institutions around the country that don't have the access to reach out as we do here in Alabama. So we're being that voice for people who are being suppressed and who are being restricted in communication.
Now, as far as you understand, is there an estimate for how many people are involved in some form of protest right now? Of course, I know that it's going to be very difficult to get all the information. Each prison, communication is difficult, but do you have any estimates?
We don't have any idea. And really, it is because we work with so many different people to organize this strike. People had different contacts in different regions of the state. We've actually saw where people who we had no contact with have participated. A lot of the demonstrations in the streets motivated people on the inside of prisons to participate. So there really just is no number. There's no absolute figure. We've been collecting as much information as we can, but we also understand that the authorities have done everything they could to try to mute word getting out. They turned off the phones in a lot of states. A lot of people's business have been denied. Mail is being held. So we won't have enough. It'll probably be maybe a month or so before we actually get a good gauge or estimate of how many people actually participated, because for all we know, there are places where it could still be going on a month from now. So we really don't know right this time.
Now, what is the nature, even just in general terms, of labor inside prisons? And can you give us some examples of what prisoners are expected to do and how much they're getting paid?
Okay, well, there are two different forms of labor inside a prison. First, you have the labor that is directly involved with running the prison itself, which would be the kitchen, the maintenance, the yard crews that cut the grass, keep the weeds down. A lot of these prisons are built in rural areas, so we have to, guys have to do those jobs. There's laundry, there are runner jobs, paint crews, people who paint the facilities. maintenance, as far as plumbing. Those types of jobs are in-house jobs. And then you have industries that have factories at the prisons. And at these factories, it just depends on what prison you're at. You could be making car parts, you could be making furniture, you could be making license plates, you could be running a goat farm, you could be running a poultry farm, you could be running a fish pond, you could be running a recycling plant, you could be making computers, you could be making, you know, any number of things. You could be making hamburger patties for McDonald's, Wendy's, you could be making plastic cups for Starbucks. There's just no limit. You could be making lingerie for Victoria's Secret. It is just an open market industry on the inside of the prisons. There are laws on the state and the federal level that allow private corporations to come in and exploit and use this labor. And so any private industry that you could think of, it is on the inside of these institutions as well.
And do you have any sense of how much people are getting paid? Does the law also allow for these corporations to underpay inmates simply because they're inmates and you know, give them even below minimum wage?
Yes, it does. First and foremost, you have the 13th Amendment. And a lot of this stuff derived from the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment says that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime. And so when you have a person who has been convicted of a crime, the institution of slavery is still legal in the United States. And so this is where the impetus for all of this comes from. This is where the lobbying and the legislation come from to allow these corporations access. Some states you don't make any money. Some states like Alabama, the wages in their industries are between 17 cents and 71 cents an hour. And I know a guy, he has been working in the Alabama industry for 8 years, and he had gotten a couple of nickel raises, a couple of 2 and 3 penny raises. And after 8 years, he had just gotten up to 50 cents an hour. So that's kind of like how they manage those resources. These guys are not being compensated fairly. We're not being compensated. We're working in very hazardous and unsafe environments. Guys are being exposed to a lot of toxic materials from old computers, old phones, and things of that nature. And so it is very hazardous work. It is very burdensome, laborious work. It is long hours, and people are making money off it. It is not like we're just working and no one is making money. We're working as part of the free market enterprise in the United States. So these products are being sold on the open market, but we're not being paid minimum wage. You'll see people say, well, some of them make minimum wage, and they're saying like at work releases. Well, here in Alabama, Senator Cam Ward, he passed a bill that says that they can now take up to 60% of the total earnings of a person in a work release. So even when they say where they get paid minimum wage, but they're allowed to take up to 60% of those wages. It started out as Senate Bill 67 in Alabama. So you can look it up. It was sponsored by Senator Cam Ward. And this is how they're using the law, manipulating the law to say, well, they get paid minimum wage, but that's only at work release facilities. And even when we're allowed to make that minimum wage, we're not receiving anywhere near that. And the 40% that we receive, then goes to court costs, then goes to restitutions, then goes to fines, and then we get what's left.
So basically, it's slave labor.
That's exactly what it is. There's no other way to put it. It's not anything but.
So, Benu, would you say that the entire system of our incarceration and imprisonment in the U.S. today is based on requiring inmates to work? And so if everybody stopped working tomorrow, these prisons wouldn't even function, nor would they maybe be financially lucrative.
That is exactly correct. We have a document called Let the Crops Rot that we post on our WordPress blog.
Let the crops rot?
Shows, let the crops rot in the field.
Okay.
And it's on our WordPress blog. And it shows that in 1870, the early 1870s, after the 13th Amendment was ratified in this nation, that 73% of the entire budget for the state of Alabama came from the prisons, convict leasing, and money that was made. So when you look at that and say, okay, the Department of Education, the Department of Transportation, the judges, the prosecutors, the public services, 73% of the revenue for the entire state government is coming out of the prisons, then it's not just the prisons that won't function. It is other aspects of the state government that won't function as well. And so when you have when you have judges, you have prosecutors, you have police officers that are dependent upon the system to work the way they dysfunction, where they can monopolize and exploit, and they have no incentive to pass laws to let people go. In fact, they have an incentive to keep us in prison. Prison Legal News, they did an article and they showed that the Alabama retirement system is invested in private prison. So if you just say that they find a law that would be requiring that a large amount of people would be released, where the judges would not be inclined to rule in favor of this law being enforced or declared unconstitutional, because it would affect their investment in their retirement system. So there are so many conflicts of interest, but as you said, the overriding motive in all of this is about generating revenue and enriching people on the labor of people that are poor, lack political rights, are uneducated, and we don't have the ability to fight within these courts when they come with these bogus trumped up charges.
Now, Benu, do you consider what these work stoppages are addressing as a matter of not just economic justice, but also, in a way, racial justice, given that the vast, that African Americans and people of color are disproportionately incarcerated in our system for a myriad number of reasons, and that the history of enslavement in this country is just all too well echoed in the current system of incarceration and slave labor-like conditions?
Oh, absolutely. There's a class war and a race war. There's a class status and race status in these prisons. And so we're aware of both. But as you said, the first layer is race-based. First, they target Black people, and then they target the other people that are left. You know, so there's no doubt about it that there is a racial component to what's going on. And it's evident as a tool of control, you know, even in the streets, when you see police officers gunning down Black men and brown men and white people in these poor inner cities where they're patrolling, constantly have a police presence, it is to control these communities. And those that don't die in the street, that they don't kill in the street, they kill behind these walls in prison. So it's all interconnected. It's all part of a system where everyone understands that they have a green light and a license to repress, suppress, and oppress our communities. And then they capitalize on court costs, fines, bail bonding companies, home monitors. And another thing I wanted to add, you know, a lot of the legislation like mandatory minimums, three strikes laws, sentence enhancer provisions, if people would look at the history of these laws, they would see that a lot of these laws are financed by corporations, because they said, okay, if this guy's going to make parole in 3 years and earn good time, then that investment in that industry is not going to pay off. But if they can put that same person in prison for a marijuana case, and instead of giving them 3 years or 5 years, he gets a life sentence, then they have a long-term investment in this person and the opportunity for that to pay off. The federal statutes, they're not very long ago, before the war on drugs, the most you could get for any drug offense was 1 year. Now those same offenses carry a mandatory 20 years, mandatory 50 years, armed career criminal, and on and on and on and on. And these laws were passed so that these corporations can have this access to this large labor pool for long periods of time.
And if you're just tuning in, we are actually speaking with Benu Hannibal Rahsaan from inside a prison. He's held at the W.E. Donaldson Correctional Facility in Bessemer, Alabama. He's also a member of the Free Alabama Movement, which has been leading the work stoppages that were launched on September 9th. Now, Benu, September 9th, as I mentioned, was the 45th anniversary of the Attica prison riot. How important is that history to what's happening today?
Well, it is important simply because it shows that there was an issue present 45 years ago today that still hasn't been resolved. If you look at the petitions coming out of Texas, if you look at the petitions coming out of California, Alabama, Georgia, all over the East Coast, the same issues and grievances that we had 45 years ago are the same issues and grievances that we have today. And what people have to understand is this. When you talk about the 13th Amendment and you talk about slavery, okay, slavery simply means that you're working for free and someone else is getting rich off of it. But what you have to look, understand that it takes certain tools or devices. It takes, something has to happen to make a person work for free. That person has to be denied all access to education, because an educated man and a thinking man is not going to go for it. There has to be brutality. That person has to understand that he has no rights, no voice, no one to turn to. The courts is not going to be there. The Department of Justice is not going to be there. No one's going to be there. And so these tools of control, the force, the police brutality, the solitary confinements, the inhumane living conditions, these are all part of the breaking process in order to get you to the point where you work for free. And a lot of people complain about solitary confinement. They'll complain about the heat going on in Texas. They'll complain about police brutality going on. But you have to understand that all of these things are necessary in order for the system of slavery to work. And that's the same thing that happened on the plantation. We saw the whip, we saw the castrations, the mutilations, we saw the rape, and we see those same things today. And that's what Attica Rebellion was about. It was about those things that were going on. And so when we commemorate that, we simply remind people that this is part of our legacy and this is part of our struggle. Mm-hmm. It's not a holiday. It's not something that we're celebrating. It's simply a reminder to everyone that this is the level of resistance and this is the spirit that we must have in order for us to change these conditions that we're all complaining about all around the United States.
So, Benu, as far as you know, has there been any retaliation against people participating in the various work stoppages and or hunger strikes? And as far as you know, how long might they continue?
Yeah, there's been retaliation for the last about 2 weeks outside of the strike. I was actually snatched up August 19th and locked up in solitary confinement. And I've been here ever since. I'm on an isolation cell, total isolation. They don't want me talking to anyone. They won't be around anymore.
You're in an isolation cell right now?
Yes, I'm in an isolation cell right now in solitary confinement. I wish I could show you more of the pictures, but that's where I am. And there are guys on the hunger strike. They're going in, stripping them of all of their property. When they brought me back here, they took all of my books, all of my reading material, all of my newspapers, all of my hygiene and personal effects, because they don't want us to be able to communicate about the struggle that we have going on. Our brother Sadiq Abdullah Hassan in Ohio, the Free Ohio Movement, they're on hunger strike. They're being attacked as we speak. Right before I came on, I was just reading a confined citizens alert about the attacks that they were being subjected to. The guys in Michigan, over 150 of them were transferred. And what I want to remind everyone, unlike what took place at Attica, these are nonviolent and peaceful protests. We're not advocating any violence. We're not harming anyone. We're simply asking guys to not work or to go on hunger strike or to boycott the canteen, the wall phones, and all of these different things. And yet we're seeing this very high and intense level of repression coming about from these states. And so I just wanted to make sure people understood that we're not a violent movement. A work strike is not violent. It is nonviolent, and it is authorized under the First Amendment. Okay, slavery is authorized under the 13th Amendment, but the First Amendment says we have the right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress agreements. So we're peacefully assembling within our rights, and we're being retaliated against for exercising our First Amendment right in the United mm-hmm. States.
Finally, Benu, how important is media coverage of these strikes, especially given that, as we said, it's really hard to get information. The prisons are all over the country. It's not clear when they might start or end the strike or what form the strikes might take. But still, there's an attempt to coordinate all of them to really make a kind of a statement nationally. Do you really truly depend on good and serious media coverage?
Yes, we do, because remember, these are state institutions, they're public institutions, but the media is not allowed in. There's very few state institutions in this country where they're saying the media cannot ever come in. They may have special media days, but in prisons, media is never allowed in, and the media is not protesting. We don't hear any complaints about the media because they all know what's going on inside. This is a well-known issue in this country. It has been in existence ever since this country has been in existence. And so it is important for us to find ways to communicate with the media, but it is more important for us to create our own media. And that's what Free Alabama Movement is all about. We have a YouTube channel. We have videos of anything you can think about going on inside a prison. We got those videos out, and you can go on our YouTube channel and you can see the living conditions. You can go into the kitchen. You'll see rats, roaches, spiders. You'll see the things that they don't want exposed. And just like what I'm doing right now, they don't want these type of interviews to go on. That's why these phones are not allowed in the prison, but we have access to the phones. And so what we ask guys that do have this access to use it in a smart and judicious manner to help bring our issues to the light and help organize and galvanize people so that we can overcome what we're facing.
What's the best way for people to express solidarity? I understand that there have been some protests outside the prisons or even just in city centers with people calling attention to the strike. Is that the kind of solidarity you hope to see, or any other kinds of petitions or phone calls or anything else?
Yes, phone calls when guys are going through things. We need phone calls. Most important, when we organize protests at the prisons, we need people to come to the prisons because this is where the issues are. This is where we'll be needing the support when morale gets low. This is where the energy is needed. And we appreciate people marching in the streets, but the prisons are where these issues are going to be resolved. And it's not going to be resolved at the state capitol, so there's no need in going there. Come to these prisons. Also, these companies, we organize nationwide boycotts at companies like McDonald's, Wendy's, Starbucks. When we make that call, we saw the people in Oregon, they demonstrated it. And I think it was in Amsterdam or no, Greece, I'm sorry, Athens, Greece. They went and shut down the McDonald's. In Portland, they shut down several of these stores. So those are the type of demonstrations we need. And we need material support. I mean, we don't have resources. We don't have money. Purchasing these phones, being able to communicate through social media, that costs money. And so we ask for donations to people to donate, and we're demonstrating how we're using these funds because it is important for us to get this message out.
And how can people make those donations? Is there a website? Can you share any details with us about that?
Yes, we have a website, www.freealabamamovement.com. And when you get on there, we have a PayPal account, and the PayPal is famfamalabama@gmail.com. That's famfamalabama@gmail.com. And you can click on our PayPal account and you can donate. And those resources 100% will be put back into these prisons and put back into this movement.
And we'll post all of that information on our website later today. I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us, risking your safety to do so. Good luck to you. Thank you so much, Benu.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Benu Hannibal Ross, son, formerly known as Melvin Ray, is our guest, speaking to us from inside the W.E. Donaldson Correctional Facility in Bessemer, Alabama, where he's been placed in isolation for his role in helping to lead the strikes that are happening in prisons around the country. He's a member of the Free Alabama Movement. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/RU with Sonali.